Next, we'll move on to the state board business. Welcome new board members, Dr. LaJavia and Mr. Sony. We're glad to have you here. Nisha.
Firstly, I'd like to say it's an honor and privilege to serve alongside all of you. Per my formal education, I'm a statistics professor and have taught in this capacity for more than 20 years. Both of my daughters actually went to a local public high school here. And I tell you this to say, I've got some familiarity with the public education system, but really the fact that they went to a public high school is what piqued my interest in serving on this board. I'm currently a trustee at the University of Delaware, as Sean knows, and a board member of Easter Seals Delaware and Maryland's Eastern Shore. My professional journey has included service on community and state level boards. So at the forefront of all of my service always is my commitment to advocating for equity, inclusion, and access, because I feel like education is transformative. It can be transformative. I look forward to collaborating with each of you and to make a meaningful difference in the lives of students and educators. And so thank you.
Sage.
Good evening, everyone. My name is Sage Son, and I'm a senior at Cesar Rodney High School. Thank you so much for having me. It's an honor to be here and to work with you on this upcoming year. I've worked collaboratively with local, state, and national institutions on mathematics programs during my high school career, and I'm here for three main reasons. First, I'm here to connect with you all and leaders across the board as we work to achieve this mission. Second, I'm here to learn so that I can continue to make an impact in the field of education. Third, and most importantly, I'm here to represent my peers to ensure that they have a voice in the future of Delaware's education system. Thank you.
Outstanding. As Secretary Holliday said, welcome to education. You'll learn. It's an eye-opener. You'll learn a lot. But you have a board that is hands-on, diverse, intelligent, hardworking. I enjoy working with each one of them. They're very loyal to education in Delaware because we want to be number one in the nation. But thank you for both, and we look forward to working with you for a year, unfortunately. And Nisha, 6 years.
I'm looking forward to it. And I can't believe in the short hour and a half, I've learned so many different acronyms already.
It could be a book of acronyms.
More to come.
But again, congratulations.
Thank you.
And we're glad you're here. Look forward to working with you.
Happy to be here. Thank you.
All right. Next on the agenda, election of vice president for FY25. This is for action. By statute, each July, the state board's Each July, the state board's required to elect one of its members to serve as vice president of the board. I will note that Mr. Kenton has indicated to me via email that he wished to nominate Deb Stevens. We did talk to Dag Corbin about this, and he said it was good. I'll open the floor for any discussion regarding the nomination and the election of the vice president for FY25, and if there are any other nominations at this time. Anyone jump in, or we?
Does his nomination require a second?
We'll do that in a second, just want to make sure everybody's good. Okay, is there a motion to elect Deb Stevens as the State Board of Education vice president?
Griffin, I move that we elect Deb Stevens to the Delaware State Board of Education as vice president.
Griffin has made a motion. I need a second.
Reverend Powell, second.
Reverend Powell has seconded it. Any discussion? All those in favor, please say aye.
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 Opposed? Abstention? Motion carries. Congratulations, Deb.
Well, thank you, colleagues, and I will endeavor to represent you well as vice president.
Amen.
You will. You have. And you will.
Ask if you wanted it.
Next on the agenda is Delaware School Boards Association. This is for information. We will now receive information regarding the Delaware School Boards Association. Mr. Dave Tall, Executive Director of the DSBA, is here to present. Sir, welcome. I'm going to kind of bring our new member up to speed in about a 15-second spiel here. So DSBA represents local school boards. They have 19
school districts.
19 school districts, yes. We are a member of it. We've been having discussions on whether we want to renew our membership because we deal with state level and not local level issues. And Dave is the executive director, and we've talked to him, and we asked him to come here tonight to present. Okay, Mr. Tall.
Thank you, Mr. President and board, and you guys, congratulations on being newly appointed. As you said, my name is David Tall. I am the executive director for Delaware School Boards Association. And I thank you for the opportunity to present here tonight. I would like to start off, first of all, by stating that the DSBA, by our constitution, is not established or appointed by any public body, the General Assembly of the State of Delaware, or the public official of the State of Delaware, or otherwise empowered by any State of Delaware statute, regulation, governmental entity. As such, it is not to be considered or construed to be a, quote, public body, as defined by 29 of Delaware Code, Chapter 100. The DSBA is also an IRS registered 501-C-4 tax exempt nonprofit education advocacy organization that represents the interests and needs of elected and appointed Delaware Public School Board members. Working with and through member school boards, the DSBA advocates for equity and excellence in Delaware public education through school board governance. Now, let me give you a little bit of history. The DSBA and the State Board of Education have a long history of working together. DSBA started in 1946. This is now our 78th year as an organization. At the September 20th, 1946 meeting of the State Board of Education, State Superintendent Dr. Miller reported, and I'll quote, that the school board members of the state have formed an organization with Mr. W. Riley Brown, president of the Board of Caesar Rodney School District, as its president, and expressed the opinion that it was one of the most forward-looking things in the state of Delaware on education, and that the organization would be most valuable in working for legislation on education, end of quote. Unfortunately, there are no further reference to the group and no existing records of the Delaware Association of School Boards as it was named then. Notice what I just said. It was called Delaware Association of School Boards. But until it changed DSBA at the spring meeting in 1957 is when it changed to become Delaware School Boards Association. Also, a motion was made and approved to change the name of the organization to Delaware School Boards Association at that meeting, spring meeting in 1957. Of course, in those days, there were more school board units or districts that belonged to the DSBA. In 1958, we saw the adoption of DSBA constitution and bylaws, and the extension of an invitation to the State School Board of Education to join the association. The State Board joined DSBA in June of 1958. That's 66 years that the State Board has been part of DSBA. that over those years, the State Board and the DSBA have worked together through many, many changes and district consolidations, segregation, OTEC schools coming into the picture. I have a document that was put together by a previous executive director before me, a 78-page document that gives the history. And I cannot tell you how many times it's mentioned in that history, year by year, how the State Board and DSBA have partnered together and discussed things and give each side views. DSBA now represents 19 school districts and the State Board of Education. Right now, we have 17 out of 19 that are members in good standing. And that's because they chose not to join, or because you have to pay dues to be a member. And in the Constitution, in order, because of the State Board is a different way in the way it's set up, because the other districts go by unit count of how many students they have. It is in the Constitution, in the bylaws, that the amount of dues that the State Board pays for membership is based on taking the three lowest districts' dues amounts and averaging that, and that's how we come up with the dues for the State Board. DSBA also became a member of the National School Boards Association in 1952. I have served on the CFER School Board for 10 years before I became the executive director of DSBA, and I attended the National School Boards Association every year that I was a member of the state of CFER. And I also participated and was the delegate to the National School Boards National Assembly at those conventions. Last year, we were down in New Orleans. This coming year, we'll be in Atlanta. Also, I would like to mention a few benefits that our members get, and that is the 19 school districts plus the State Board of Education are entitled to these benefits. A seat on the DSBA Board of Directors, a seat on the DSBA Legislative Committee, membership in NSBA. You have to be a member of DSBA in order to be a member of NSBA and get the benefits of what the national organization provides for you. Another benefit, representation on all state education committees. We have an annual meeting each year where we share the annual report of the association and awards to the DSBA membership. Another benefit, we offer trainings, clinics, financial training, new board member training, individual training as requested. Another benefit is policy and mandated policy language, state legislative advocacy, national legislative advocacy, legislative updates, research, contract negotiation information, board docs, crisis and emergency media communications. This one here is a new one that we had, that we put into our benefits, I think it was 3 years ago. We contract with a group called the Donovan Group, which is a crisis management communications, and our district's members, a number of the districts have used that benefit, where that Donovan Group will help a school when they have a crisis and put out and recommend a letter or information and how to present it and so forth. I can tell you just recently, while I was on vacation in West Virginia, I had an email from a school district wanting to know how they could get in touch with it. A district upstate had a crisis, and it has been a benefit. Of course, the SBA pays for that benefit, but that benefit is entitled to all members. Another benefit is networking. Corporate membership programs, where DSBA is your liaison to, and other state educational advocacy groups, and communication. DSBA provides regular and frequent communication to all school members on issues of interest. Those are just some of the benefits. In summary, before I open up for questions, if you have any. In summary, DSBA and the State Board of Education have been partners for a long time. As I said, since 1958. We have accomplished a lot. And I know from my history that reading of the document that I have that was put together, we don't always agree, but it's good to be a partner and share our views and comments. We have accomplished a lot for education in our partnership over the 7 decades. Working together shows unity and solidarity. The old saying, when we're all together, what comes from it? Got to share. And working for the best education for students and children in the state of Delaware is our main goal. I think we all have the same goals. Thank you. I'll open up for questions.
Thank you, Ms. Tall. Any questions for Mr. Tall from the board members? Well, we'll keep this open as a further, we're going to keep this moving as a dialogue. We will discuss this at another date, but I appreciate you coming tonight, and I thank you for your time, sir.
No questions. I either did a good job or I didn't.
You were thorough, sir.
You did a good job.
Okay, next on the agenda. Thank you. Have a good evening. Is the FY25 budget. It is for action. The proposed budget and projected expenditures were provided to the board in advance of the meeting and published on e-board. Last month, per Department of Education finance deadline requirements, the board had already approved several line items. Now that this final State of Delaware budget was signed, are there any questions from board members about this framework? And do you have anything to add, Ms. Smith?
No.
I think everybody received a copy. I'm sure everybody received a copy. Down to 5 lines. Okay. Are there any questions? Deb, I need a motion to approve the FY25 State Board of Education.
So moved.
We're going to with
a hold on the DSBA item for now until a decision is made.
Yes, thank you. Stevens has made a motion. I need a second.
Griffin, second.
Griffin, second. Any discussion? All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Thank you. Next on the agenda, committee and meeting reports. There was an opportunity for members to provide information and written reports made available on e-board on any events or committee meetings attended since the last meeting. I think Deb Stevens was the only one to send her hers in this month, which is fine. Is there anything anyone would like to share further?
I'd like to just highlight some of the meetings that I was fortunate enough to attend this past month. First, the annual Policy and Practice Institute that was held at Dover High School. As I've mentioned, it's an event sponsored by the University of Delaware, the Delaware Association of School Leadership, DASL, and DASA, the Delaware Association of School Administrators. They had an absolutely dynamic speaker, Jamila Dugan, who co-authored a book on using street data in order to provide equity in your classroom, in the curriculum, and really transforming schools. She was superb. And some other sessions that were offered there that I was able to attend was an update on the impact of Delaware's teacher residency program, which gave me a lot of hope to see that we are building that pipeline here in Delaware so that we will be able to support all the educators that we're going to be needing in the future. And then there was also an interesting presentation by one of the school administrators on how she was able to shift the school climate in her building through relationship building. So yeah, the whole day was absolutely wonderful. This is their 22nd year of running the Policy and Practice Institute. And I'd say if you have an opportunity next year to attend, I highly recommend it. It's usually the third week of June and anybody can attend. The second opportunity I had was last week to attend with a Delaware team, the Education Commission of the States Conference in Washington, D.C. It was an exciting 3-day program. The keynote speakers were just, they blew you away. They were just so outstandingly good. The sessions were very, very interesting. A little depressing on the 5 major K-12 funding trends to watch because the funding trends were not good. They were talking about how state budgets were diminishing, how the ESSER funds are now, you know, will be expended as of September, how student numbers are declining. We left there a little down from that session. Thank God it came at the beginning of the 3 days. But also having the opportunity to hear about some innovative ideas that are making a difference in schools. The session on scaling high impact tutoring was very, very interesting. What surprised me was this particular vendor was focused on 9th graders and what he and some of the schools that he was working with were doing with the extra in-school tutoring, bringing in AmeriCorps and bringing in other agencies to help train people within the district to keep the project running so it wasn't always a vendor expenditure, but helping 9th grade students that may have been left behind to catch up and start making the impact that they can make in their schools. Also, you know, the session on accountability systems was interesting, but what really caught my attention was the collective impact approach to improve student attendance, a project that Rhode Island had just undertaken this year. It meant a lot to hear from them because just that week, our numbers on chronic absenteeism came out in the press, and there was an indication that 23% of Delaware students were chronically absent. And by some of our subgroups, it was up to 27%. When you think of chronic absenteeism, it's generally viewed as 2 days a month, every single month of the school year. And so what Rhode Island did was they set out to educate the public, but used a unified state approach. The governor was leading this effort. It included the governor, it included the institutes of higher education, it included the education department, it included community leaders, it included church leaders. Everybody was involved in both educating the public as to what is chronic absenteeism. And yes, it does matter if your son or your daughter is missing 2 days a month. Some people don't think that's too much, but educating them that that raises the chances of that child not achieving what they need to achieve to move on. And so, interestingly enough, they showed us some of the videos that they had produced, some of the literature that they had produced, as well as some of the meetings. The governor has on his board, in his office, a daily update, school by school, for every school in Rhode Island as to what their attendance is on that particular day and how it compares to that day the previous year. Are they doing better? And he then calls out those schools that are doing an outstanding job to congratulate them. And for those that are struggling, he goes and personally visits those schools to help them come up with a plan to improve on their attendance. It was exciting to hear. One thing I wish they had more time to get into, because these sessions were only an hour long. What I would have loved to have heard was what the individual schools were doing. The number that amazed me was that they were in Rhode Island in 1 year, a 1 year effort, able to reduce absenteeism by 286,000 absences.
Wow.
And that's in 1 year. It was impressive.
Wow.
I thought, that's something maybe we can consider here in Delaware. I did bring back something for you, and this came as part of one of our plenaries, and it was from an organization that talked about dignity. And I don't think this could have come at a better time, especially given the lack of dignity so frequently in political discourse. And so what they are introducing is what is called the Dignity Index. And if you look at the left-hand side of the sheet, you see 8 descriptors. And they're color-coded so that item number 8, 7, 6, and 5 are positive descriptors, where 4, 3, 2, and 1, less so. So for example, number 8, each one of us is born with inherent worth, so we treat everyone with dignity no matter what, versus they're not even human. It's our moral duty to destroy them before they destroy us. And you can almost hear some of the political rhetoric. And what they did was, as part of an activity for us, they put up various expressions on the screen and had the audience rating where that expression fell and what could make it better. And so on the right-hand side of the sheet, you've got building skills for dignified disagreement. And I think these elements there say it all, that, you know, be curious, not furious. Acknowledge knowledge. How many times do we tell people that we disagree with that if they do have a good idea, they've got a good idea. You've made a good point. You know, build up rather than tear down. Challenge ideas, don't attack people. And so, you know, it was, I think, a really interesting discussion for us. It's something that could be, I think, put out there in schools to help train our young people on being dignified in their disagreements. And it closes with the dignity pledge that I thought was extremely, extremely meaningful. So I loved this. Hopefully you see some value in it, and maybe you want to share it with some of the people that you work with as well. I'd love to see more dignity in conversations. But that's my report.
Very enlightening. Thank you. And I do like the Dignity Index. That's today's statements are very powerful and help me think.
Yeah.
All right. Anybody have anything else?
Yes, Mr. President, on this past Tuesday, actually Tuesday of this week, I attended the NSBE Public Education Policy Committee meeting. The committee as a whole has chosen to break up its work this year into three subcommittees, one being presenting PEP's public education policy, presenting PEP's purpose, PEP process and protocols committee, that's the subcommittee I'm serving on, and promising practices and pressing problems. What happened at the second meeting of the year was we looked at, and I shared that document in one of my prior reports, we looked at what PEP had been doing throughout the years and tried to decide how were we going to revise that. And the best way to do it, the group decided, was to break it up into three separate committees that would attack the work from different angles. I will definitely send these documents to Ms. Smith so that they can get out to everyone. I apologize that I did not do it between Tuesday and now.
Wait, all right, thank you. Anybody else have anything? I'll take this opportunity to, it was a tragedy that occurred in the Cape Malevin School District. Two of their students were killed in a car accident Monday. It's just that I ask that you keep the district and the family and friends in your thoughts and prayers as they move forward through this. It's never good, and it's always upsetting when you see somebody their life wiped out in an early age. So just want to bring that to everybody's attention if they hadn't seen it. It's very tragic. That's all I have. If there is nobody else.
I would just like to say, I had shared the information recently with Kathleen about the Surgeon General's report on gun violence and in this country, and has deemed gun violence the number one cause of killing for youth and adolescents in the country. So the top doctor in our country has now declared it as a public health crisis. In some communities already realize the devastating effect of gun violence, but this is across countrywide, and it's in communities and in schools. I think the report is some evidence-based approach to looking at this issue, and it is taking the approach from a mental health perspective or a public health perspective. I think there's an opportunity for the state board, perhaps, as we looked at our budget and we had some excess resources there to really engage public community engagement, there might be an opportunity for us to unpack some of the suggestions and recommendations for perhaps some districts and across the state, or if some perhaps district might want to champion this or take this and unpack the recommendation, because there's some evidence based that perhaps schools and communities can work together and implement some of these strategies. So I think it's relevant because these gun violence is not specific or germane to any particular community cross section. It goes into schools and all over. So I think for us not to take advantage of this report and the seriousness as it relates to impacting our country, I think we could take an opportunity to unpack the information. So that's what I would just suggest as a part of some of the things I've been working on.
Thank you, sir. All right. We'll move next to the Executive Director's Report. Ms. Smith.
Thank you. I, too, enjoyed attending the Education Commission of the States Forum with Vice President Stevens, and reports of the different sessions I attended are sprinkled throughout my written report here. And I wanted to express my appreciation, too, and gratefulness for Marco joining our team. I'm very pleased about that. And with being able to turn a little bit more away from clerical operations in the coming weeks, I'm looking forward to diving in again to the annual report for FY24. That will be forthcoming. It's in progress now. And I did want to highlight that Delaware Readiness Teams meeting that I attended on Monday. Wonderful network of, to name a few, the Delaware Literacy Alliance, the Office of Early Learning here at the department, Delaware Libraries, the Campaign for Grade Level Reading, the United Way of Delaware, Reading Assist, Reach Out and Read, it's just a wonderful network that I found in the spring, or that found me, that is doing great work up and down the state to impact literacy. And the state board is going to partner to do a webinar in September for the Delaware Literacy Month, and it'll be aimed toward youth and youth literacy, mainly middle school and high schoolers. And we were going to do something at the end of the school year, and time got away from everyone. So we planned it again for September. So I'll add resources from this network to the weekly roundup on Fridays, and I'll keep you posted on the webinar in September.
Thank you. Legislative update and consideration. Chief of Staff Lisa Henry is here to provide a wrap up. How are you tonight?
Good,
thank you.
Hi, everyone. I have a short update, just to wrap up the end of session. So over the 2 years, there were approximately 90 education-related pieces of legislation that were introduced, and about 50 education-related pieces of legislation that passed. So I'll just give you some highlights of some. There were a number of bills that actually turned into resolutions that were related to drug prevention programs, high school sports championships, injury monitoring systems, public education funding commission, early childhood education systems, and financial literacy standards. Several bills were passed which directly affected institutions of higher education. Some bills passed related to early education, teacher academy, student tracking, and school health issues such as vision screening and lead screening. A few bills passed related to charter schools and teachers, such as the charter leader certification and the teacher interstate mobility compact. And then lastly, a couple of bills passed related to school safety and school building improvements. And I think I mentioned those at the last meeting.
Any questions for Henry, Ms. Henry? Got your name right this time.
Thank you.
Look.
Thanks.
Thank you. Have a good evening. Secretary Holdick.
Sure. Good evening again, everyone. And you have my written report, but there are a couple of additional topics I'd like to highlight. One is a couple of months ago, and I might be a bit repetitive because I just want to bring our new board members up to speed. So a few months ago, Monica Gant, who oversees academic support at the department, she's our associate secretary. She, along with Kathy Kelly, and it may have, there may have been an additional person or two who supported the presentation to the board on our literacy plan, our state's literacy plan. And we talked in that presentation about, you know, the three bills that were passed now a couple of years ago around the science of reading and what we are doing as a department to support our 19 districts and 23 charter schools this year, per the governor's recommended budget and support from the General Assembly, we will be hiring literacy coaches. And Monica and her team have been providing updates to the school chiefs, charter leaders. Today, Lisa Henry and Cora worked on getting ready for our chiefs and charters charter meetings coming up here in the next few weeks, where Monica and her team will present to all of those folks. And I just want you to be aware that that's happening, and the presentation that is being used will be shared with the state board to keep you up to speed following that presentation. So that was one thing I wanted to share. And then two other very positive things. You know, based on my previous reports, in fact, last month I talked about what our deputy secretary had come up with as a strategy to really push, if you would, our districts and charters to have more robust summer planning, programming, I should say, not planning, summer programming. And, you know, I talked about the 600, $600,000 in grants that had been awarded at that time. So now Cora and other members of our team, me included, are just beginning to visit summer programming. Within the last few days, starting last Friday through yesterday, I had the opportunity to visit Lewis Elementary in the Cape Henlopen School District, which is where they're running almost all of their summer programs. Also had the opportunity on Monday to visit the Seaford School District and their summer programming, as well as Sussex Montessori summer program. And then being that I was coming back across Sussex County, I stopped at the Brian Allen Stevenson School for Excellence, or of Excellence. So the acronym for that, new members, is BASS, B-A-S-S-E, Brian Allen Stevenson School of Excellence, which is a charter school that'll be opening this, as you all know, will be opening this coming 2024-25 school year. Met with their school leadership and just took a look at the building that's being renovated there in Georgetown. And was very pleased and impressed with what I saw in the summer programming, especially as it pertains to literacy and the importance of reading. The state fair started today. I was there. That's why I am not with you all in person. You know that the Department of Education has a day where they man the governor's booth, and we provide lots of resources to students and families. So I was there, Cora was there, Jim Simmons, and many others from the department. And I mentioned the fair because it's not all fun and games. We have hundreds upon hundreds of Delaware students that participate in competitions, competitive exhibits, livestock competitions through FFA, you know, showing their animals, competing in crafts. We have, again, hundreds of students that participate in youth development through 4-H. That this is like the highlight of 4-H and FFA's year. Not during the school year, but right now. And great to see, even though it was just the first day, they were coming in, you know, with their displays and their artwork, their crafts, and their animals, et cetera. And then, I think that covers it. Those are my highlights. Thank you. And Deb stole my thunder because I was going to talk about last week at ECS, but I think that's been between Deb and Kathleen, we've covered it. So thanks to them.
Any questions for Secretary Holodick? All right, thanks, sir. Next on the agenda, formal public comment. Time has been set aside at this point in the agenda for general public comment. Ms. Smith, is anyone signed up to provide public comment?
Yes, they are. And I have asked for confirmation in the chat. I see one name that I recognize as previously signed up. And while you read the next part, I'll let them confirm.
Okay, thank you. We will hear from speakers from the sign-up sheet who are present in the meeting room in person first. Then we will recognize speakers logged in via the URL in order that they have signed up in the chat box. Comments should be limited to 2 minutes for individuals and 3 minutes for organizations. As a reminder, the board typically will not respond to questions or engage in a dialogue with those offering comments during the board meeting. Ms. Smith?
Right. We previously had an indication from the Delaware Chess Association, and I do not see that person online at this time. If they could raise their hand, they had previously signed up. Right, then we'll move next to Ms. Bowser. She had previously signed up to provide comment. If you could raise your hand or confirm in the chat, please. Right, and next we had signed up from Educate Delaware. We have two members here from that organization tonight. So I'm not sure whether I should unmute. Okay, it's going to be Jenny Howard. Jenny Howard, I'll unmute you, and you can introduce yourself, and then I'll start the 3-minute timer. Ms. Howard, can you hear us?
Jenny Howard, thank you for allowing me to speak today on behalf of Educate Delaware. We are a small nonprofit organization. Our mission is to help families and schools build stronger relationships through resources, support, and advocacy. I'm here today to bring awareness for the need for local school boards across the state to allow public comment to be made both in person and virtually and potentially written form. One advantage to remote public comment is that it can be given from a location convenient for the individual. If you aren't used to speaking in public, getting up in front of a room full of strangers, sometimes at a podium, is extremely nerve-wracking. If English is your second language or you have a heavy accent, it would be a dreadful feeling to get up in front of a board to speak publicly. Additionally, many families cannot attend district school board meetings in person to make public comment. Lack of transportation, childcare, or employment obligations are examples for not being able to attend in person. And if you're like me and you have 4 kids, I gave public comment from a swim meet earlier this week. So it is helpful to be able to give comment in virtually. Many times school board meeting participants only represent a small portion of the community. And often these are the people who have time to get to public meetings and have the ability to get to the meeting. We found that most school boards already broadcast their meetings, so it shouldn't be too much trouble for school boards to allow virtual comments as well. Another option to explore would be helpful is to have a public comment form or email address that can be filled out before the meeting to submit written comments. We feel this could be especially beneficial for families who do not speak English or who aren't fluent in the language. At Educate Delaware, we believe that allowing virtual and written comments would increase public access and participation. The result is likely to be better public policy and more actively involved communities, which is our mission. So thank you so much for your time tonight and your consideration. Good night.
Thank you.
And we did receive a written copy of the comments from one of the commenters, and I will share that with the board and then go back and post that on eBoard as well. So I believe that concludes public comment for this evening.
Okay, thank you. Next is adjournment. Is there a motion to adjourn tonight's meeting?
Griffin, I move we adjourn.
Griffin has made a motion. I need a second.
Latavia, second.
I'll be a second. Any discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
It is 7:16 p.m. and the meeting is adjourned. Safe travels, everyone, and thank you for attending.
Good night.
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 This audio is made with Audio Toolkit for Windows Store, downloaded for free now.